Yeah, you. You're really cool. You can be anything you want to be. Time to fly. I'm talking to you. No hablo español así. Move forward. Stand your ground. Hang in there while you're doing it. And sail away into the sunset.
Hello, everybody. How are you? I'm good. Thanks for asking. It's Sean Stewart here with my co-host, Steve Cartonen.
Hey there, Sean.
How's it going, Steve?
It's good. I've decided to keep ruining my openers.
Sweet. I love it. Keep doing that. I love things when they get ruined.
Yeah, I love making people turn this podcast off as soon as they hear
Oh, Steve again?
Including myself. Every time.
Every time, yeah. So we're continuing our look at Garfunkel and Oates. Sorry we skipped a few weeks, but you've probably come to expect that from us by now.
I mean, yeah. Either you're going to wait for the good stuff, or you're just going to expect this rush.
Or just continue with your lives. Yeah, I don't know. Whichever.
Keep living your life.
We're cool with that, too, I suppose. Yeah.
But come back. Please come back.
That'd be nice. I mean, if you're listening to this now, you're clearly back, which is cool.
Yeah, and you've done the right thing. Congratulations.
Congrats. Yeah. You are... We didn't want to tell you this because we didn't want those other people listening, but you're our fifth listener.
Yeah. Did you know that?
You sure didn't, but you know what you get for that? You get a free episode of Little Shows and Couldn't.
Yeah, fresh and right out of the oven.
Right out of the proverbial oven of our mouths. So, we're checking out episodes 3 and 4. We'll start off with 3, Speechless. Ricky and Kate decide to go on a couple blind dates and not talk.
They're given the idea when they come across their friend
Nick, who's played by Nick Thune, is a pretty funny comic. Yeah.
And his girlfriend, who is doing the Little Mermaid, she's gone full mermaid,
full Little Mermaid,
and it's the
she won't talk to anybody. Yeah.
And it's even after the third attempt to engage her in a conversation, she still, it's a shrug.
She'll shrugs it off, looks at her boyfriend to kind of answer the questions for her. But it's working, and they're so in love.
Yeah, it only works for the relationship, though. It doesn't work everybody else outside of it is like, the fuck?
Yeah, you can't be at a restaurant like, so what do you want, baby?
It absolutely doesn't work for a podcast.
It doesn't work. You couldn't see us gesturing at all. No. So, but yeah, it doesn't work in any other case, really.
But the girls decide to try and make it work, or to see how far they can go with their blind double dates. Because
who cares? It's a blind date set up by their crappy friend who sucks.
And so it's probably going to tank anyway.
It's going to be a crappy date, so let's just see what happens.
Have fun
when
at
we
others'
say
expense. Yeah.
So they do. They go on a blind date with T.J. Miller and his friend.
Yeah.
I never really recognized the other actor. So.
Yeah, I don't know. He's pretty, I don't know. The character even in the show makes me just want to forget about him because he's pretty terrible. So
I don't know.
I'm not going to think of the actor.
Mean, yeah, for sure.
His character has made me not want to know him.
But what if he's a really good actor, Steve?
Well, see, that's the thing. Maybe
he's
too good.
He could be in some other good movie that who's like, wow,
it's never too bad I hate that guy already. Yeah. He was so good in that other show, I immediately didn't like him from his character. So,
well, fair enough.
It's praise in its own way.
You keep living in that bubble of yours, and I'm going to keep exploring my options of terrible people in other stuff. So, so they end up in a sports bar. On their
perfect place for a double date.
Perfect place for a double date where you're not going to talk.
Yeah, exactly. If you've already made... if it works out pretty well in the girl's advantage.
Definitely.
That those guys... And, you know, it's not even a thing where they don't even ask the girl's names. There's no introduction.
They just start talking.
Yeah, and...
Like, immediately.
So, I guess you could chalk it up to the guys being super nervous... But for me, I'm just like, no, these are kind of crappy guys out of the gate, like
a little bit. Like they're you could tell they're like totally into themselves.
Yeah, and their stories and the game, the nondescript game going on in the background, like the random
the
cheers when something happens.
Check that sports game out. Sure did.
I like it when the home team defeats the opposing team.
That's the best when that happens. That's my favorite part of sports.
Yeah. Sports.
So they tell K- Kate and Ricky all about themselves, their favorite horse magazines.
Yeah, equestrian magazines, their favorite.
In order.
Top three. Their friend, what was it, Brian? Or their friend, it was that name, like, every group's got a Brian. And of course, ours is no different. Like, just typical jerk guy stuff.
Stupid Brian. Like, always doing Brian stuff.
Yeah. And so I guess it goes well because...
It does, because they get flowers.
Yeah.
Delivered directly to their door somehow.
And an email. Ricky gets flowers. Kate gets an email. Like, right. Hey, this was really fun. Like,
we should definitely do this again. Yeah, I hope you can open this.
Yeah, just like super hooked these guys are on these mute girls.
I understand that they got their information from their friend Karen, their shitty friend Karen.
Yeah.
But like, did they get their names? Like, I don't remember them even asking for their names.
That's the thing. They
just went talking.
If only, like, maybe Karen's just like, oh yeah, my girlfriend's Ricky and Kate. But that's like, they didn't even confirm it. They could have been like,
which one's Ricky? Which one's Kate?
Could have been like, is this Nikki and Carol? Like, they
yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, but TJ he's sending flowers, like, big.
Would you say he's smitten at this point?
He has to be.
It was a first date. I mean, it's kind of quick.
It's a bold move. Even if you really like the girl, sending her flowers right after a date, like, for first time meeting.
That's a lot.
Like,
yeah.
I think, I don't know, a lot of girls might be scared off, but maybe he read them pretty good. Like, hey, this mute girl.
Yeah.
It's like, I know this type.
She'll totally dig two different orders of flowers.
Yeah. And yeah, the girls, like, they think they're attractive guys when they see them. They're like, hey, those are like hot guys. So I figure that's still part of it when they want to keep the experiment going. Like, they're still
driven to
do the second dates.
Maybe. But I don't know. Like, Kate doesn't seem that attracted to her boyfriend. She just kind of... I mean, granted, she's not talking at all.
Yeah.
But she just doesn't seem into it. Like, if I was on a date with someone who just could not, like, would not talk...
Yeah.
I would think she was not into me. And, I mean, like, turning this around on me.
Right.
Because I'm important, too, Steve.
Of course.
I would think she would not be into me, so I would be like... You know what? Maybe I won't send her two orders of flowers. Yeah. Maybe I'll just...
Maybe
I'll let Karen know that her friends suck and never set me up on a blind date again.
Yeah, because some guys would probably read that as incredibly rude.
I definitely would. I would probably do my best to get off the date.
Yeah.
Like, maybe fake, you know...
spleen injury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Fight Club, Fight Club.
Yeah, like meeting. you couldn't talk about it, but it's definitely a Fight Club.
Yeah,
thing.
Like, I don't want to get into details, but I gotta kick someone's ass right.
But but luckily for these guys, that it works out in their favor because
definitely.
You know they don't care.
They continue dating them for some reason, and they continue not talking, and that leads TJ Miller to confide in Ricky, telling him that. Or telling her that he's an orphan?
Yeah, just opening right up. Like, there is a thing where if you're silent, it forces people to talk to you. Like, it's a psychological trick.
Okay.
So maybe, yeah, like, I've read about it kind of thing on the internet, so obviously it's true. But
clearly,
it's like, if you're trying to get something out of someone or you want them to, like, you know, like, okay, do this, you just kind of... You give them that little bit of wall of silence, and a lot of people like have to feed into it because a lot of people don't like the awkwardness. But I mean, this is a whole nother level.
Yeah, like, this is like a completely one-sided thing.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, she's totally silent, and by her lie of lie of silence, he assumes she's
lying
an
through
orphan.
Silence or something. Yeah,
He assumes that she too is an orphan, and then it just sparks this, I have to take care of you. Like, and actually, then
and
it turns out.
He does.
Yeah,
he
turns into like a good boyfriend. Like,
yeah.
He
brushes her hair.
Yeah.
He tucks her into the couch.
Yeah, they're just enjoying being together, and
it's real nice.
And to Ricky's surprise, it's a real relief not to have to contribute to the conversation. Just
right.
Just letterbox.
Just reap all the rewards of being the girlfriend of an orphan.
Yeah.
But Kate is not having so much luck.
No,
she's with her date and her gay friends who seem to be like the douchiest gay couple possibly in existence.
They're not even like fun people to hang out with. Like,
they seem like complete bummers.
Yeah, so Kate's got a different evening.
They're playing win, lose, or draw, and they're losing horribly.
Yeah,
because
obviously
Kate refuses to talk.
Yeah.
And answer really obvious questions and whatnot. Yeah,
the pocket book, like the easiest,
or the sun.
The easiest two things to draw, and she's just shaking head.
She just can't do it. She knows what it is,
yeah,
but she just can't because of the code.
Yeah, the experiment, or
yeah, it's more of an experiment than a code, really.
And then, of course, she gets lucky when Who Wants Ice Cream, and she gets through like a moat a lot through it, and she's kind of basically bouncing and clapping, and
but not before getting a juice box.
Oh, that's right, getting
the very, very hard to open Capri Sun juice box,
and like the guy says, he's like, "Oh, let me help you with that." And
that he just happens to have because his sister.
For his sister.
Right.
So, it's, you know, I guess like just younger sister probably at this point, we're assuming.
Yeah. Or who knows, maybe a special needs.
If you're looking at it, like if you're looking for it, yeah, it's definitely leading that way.
It's kind of there. And kind of leading that way. So Kate and Ricky have a little talk down back at their apartment, and Ricky decides to go on another date to check out some sports.
Yeah, sports.
With her new orphan boyfriend and his buddies.
Yeah.
And then they break into their sports song,
yeah,
which I really like because it kind of explains my emotions towards sports.
Sean, you've stolen the words directly off of my page, it seems.
I did.
You
I was looking
of a
at
bitch.
Your page, and I was like, I love that saying, Steve. I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
But I didn't really say it. I just said your line instead.
You did. Because, well, now I seem like I'm just jumping on the podcast bandwagon here where, oh, yeah, me too. You're right, Sean.
You've defended your statement.
Also, my exact feelings of sports. Go team, yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly how I feel. Like, if they get a goal, perfect.
Yeah. Score that
if
goal
they don't,
unit.
Well, I mean, maybe next time. Who cares?
And it's not that I don't understand the sports.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
just
I completely
that I
understand
don't
sports.
Care about them.
I do. I don't understand how people can just like dedicate their lives.
It's
to, like,
it's unreal.
Going to every game, like
knowing
cheering
stats.
For, yeah, cheering for the players that are on that team, booing the players that left that team to
and,
go to another team.
And it's like people they've never known, people they will never know, and they're just like, oh yeah, this guy. He's like, he's going to do this, and like, oh, and then like, it's when two sports guys come together, or three or four, is when you really see it. Like, you could, like, the guy sitting next to you, and you're having a pleasant conversation at a party, you'd never know he was a sports guy, because you'd never bring it up, right?
Until right.
Exactly.
Until the group forms.
And then you're just like, oh, no.
Well, that's my cue to hit the shrimp.
I just let my eyes glaze over. And then someone will say something about like Spider-Man, and I'm like, I'm back.
And you're back in.
Or computer or video games.
Video games very rarely come up in conversations at parties.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to go on record and say they never come up at parties because nobody wants to admit to playing video games at parties.
Yeah. It's not cool.
Unless it's my party.
Exactly.
Then it's all about the video games.
Yeah. And then we're going to boot up something, and then
then everybody leaves.
Yeah, my favorite part of the party is when I turn on my Xbox and everybody else is gone.
Usually around the end of the night.
Exactly. But yeah, their song about sports, it's like millionaires throwing balls to other millionaires and then less agile millionaires talking about it. Like, I couldn't, it's nail
it's
on
perfect.
The head for me.
Hammering that nail. Super, super into it.
And I just love it. Like, just.
It's a great song. Yeah. I also like how the black backup dancer changed, like, very frequently.
Exactly. And I didn't notice it the first time I watched it until it's not that I'm racist.
No.
It's just that it's very quick, and then, like, and even the girls are all changing outfits, too, and you're just like, whoa, 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 what is happening?
What just happened?
Yeah, it's like, am I, you know, like, am I tripping again kind of thing? But
am I on acid again?
Especially when they start singing the song in Latin, and I'm like, oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm definitely on acid.
But yeah, it's just every other word. Yeah, great song.
Great song. So Ricky finally breaks her silence at the old sports game because she just needs to correct everybody. She was correcting Kate earlier when they were eating Chinese food and meeting Nick and her and his girlfriend. And she just has to correct everybody about the AIDS play that they're talking about.
This is something too that I agree. I'm right there. I would not have been able to keep quiet as long as she did. Like, especially when you know, because it's one thing
what
you're
talking about
when somebody's like they're talking about something that's clearly wrong, and you're just like, I don't think that's right. But when you know specifically what they're saying wrong, and you have to just be like, shut up and let me help you. Like, you're so wrong. I need to teach you something right now.
You have to know you're super wrong right now.
It's
my background in musicals is very limited, but I do know of Book of Mormon, and it's one I've actually wanted to see for a while now. But I would not have been able to contribute in that conversation.
Oh, she nails it. She totally knows what she's talking about. She writes it out like right there, clear as day, big bold print. This is what you guys are trying to talk about, and you're wrong.
And failing miserably at.
And then, like, to TJ's surprise, he's in love with her voice. Like, he just like. But how did he not? Like, sure, he can love her voice, but like, how did that not click in his brain that it's just?
Well, it's safe to say they're on like. Yeah, this is like their third or fourth date, maybe.
But he
just still hasn't caught on that she hasn't talked.
It's even, that's the fact that it gets to the third or fourth date. It has to say something about him, but it's still just, it's madness. It's utter madness.
It is.
And, but he's just, it's a great plus. It's great for him. And then I'm like, oh, okay, so he's still, kind of still climbing up the ladder of being a good boyfriend. And I'm like, yeah, right on. So
yeah,
it really turned like
it seems like it's going to go well.
Yeah, it really turned around from my first impression of it.
Definitely. And while Ricky broke her silence, Kate still hasn't.
No, she's
hanging in there.
She is going going the distance, I believe.
That's
accurate. Is that a saying? That's a
going
saying.
I think that refers to like going all the way. Like,
yeah, I was trying to think of a sports metaphor, and I couldn't. In honor of that, I had nothing.
Maybe
so.
Like a.
It was a give and Hail go. Mary to the touchdown zone.
That's probably accurate.
Yeah, it's
I don't know sports
touchdown
well.
Touchdown zone.
I know sports. What am I talking about? Of course, I know sports. Hail Mary all the way.
Yeah, exactly.
So Kate is not having luck with her date at all. Well, kind of. I mean, he seems into her, but we're not sure why. Because, like, she seems...
It takes a brutal turn.
It does. Should we just get into it?
I think so, we should. Yeah, let's...
It turns out that he's a caretaker for his mentally challenged sister. Surprise! He was into... apparently, that's his thing.
But the worst part about it was when he's like, I've gotta know... Like
right,
how he sets up the question is just like it's how you'd ask a person like, hey, I gotta know, what do you like to do on the weekends or something? You know, like, hey, I gotta know, what's your favorite band?
What do you want for supper?
Yeah, like, what's your favorite type of food? And he's just, hey, I gotta know, what's your disability? Like, he's like, is it this? Is it I don't even remember. He's like, are you just slow? Like,
yeah,
oh, it's
I don't want to say retarded, but like maybe a little
retarded. Like, yeah, he is terrible.
And Kate is clearly offended by this.
Yeah, she's she's even a point of like, hey, what's wrong with you? Like, this isn't like legal kind of thing. He's just,
yeah, is that even legal? And yeah, it just he doesn't notice that she's finally talked either.
Yeah, she's like expressing and very clearly and very articulately, and he's just
unfazed.
Like, yeah, he's still just like, well, she's got this moment
clearly
of clarity.
Still
I guess
mentally
he's
challenged.
Like, now I can get to the bottom of it, and then
yeah,
and then Kate like kind of realizes how it could be interpreted that way.
Yeah, she kind of goes back into the last couple dates and she realizes, maybe that could have been seen as a little bit.
And then, of course, the nail in the coffin, he's just like, and you dress like this because. And she says, no, these are my clothes.
Yeah. So that kind of wraps up Kate's story.
Yeah.
And we got Ricky breaking her silence. She talks to Kate for a little bit on the phone and comes back in. And the guys are watching one of their videos.
Yeah, their YouTube videos about one of their songs, the Hand Job Song.
The Hand Job Song.
And TJ Miller is not on board.
Not impressed. He's kind of offended, seems
like. It's like he's taking it very personally. Dick.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like he's
like, how dare you talk about hand jobs? I don't even care if it's fake.
And then Kate or Ricky comes back with, or he's like, how could you not tell me? And she's like, you didn't ask. It's like, I have to ask specifically. And she could have just said, you had to ask anything.
Yeah.
I never told you, like,
I didn't talk to you at all until just now.
And when he's still not like,
and he still doesn't understand it. She flat out tells him, and he's still confused.
Yeah, it's actually pretty terrible on him because he still doesn't acknowledge the fact that he's spent 3 dates with a girl, and she's never said a word. He just keeps going on, and then he realizes, hang on, are you even an orphan? So now he can turn it around again.
That was the final straw. That's it.
Yeah.
You're done, Ricky.
You parent having my bitch, house. I think he says. You're just some bitch with parents.
Yeah, some bitch with parents.
Yeah.
And that's
so he's destroyed. He just,
I feel like that was a little much.
I think I look at it now, I think that was his only exit strategy. Like I feel like
I think
used that to get out of there because he's got no leg to stand on.
Like, she just started talking. What else don't I know about her?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that was his thinking. I mean, who knows? Maybe if they did go on a date where she was talking, they would hit it off again.
But I feel like that's just coming back to the initial impression of him. Like, yeah, he's shitty.
Yeah.
Like, you don't ask a girl. You don't ask a girl anything on the first date. That's what it turns out.
If you talk
to
about
be.
Yourself for hours,
yeah.
I don't know if there's going to be a second date.
And then we get like a nice little moment of where there's a painting on the wall that she sees. He brings up about how like somebody mentioned once that, hey, that like they said it looks like a butthole. He's like, I don't see it. And he just keeps going. And she's just like you can see
it
in her
clearly
face.
Clearly a butthole.
But then for the rest of the guys, as she's like even grabbing her stuff to leave, she's like, okay, that painting is a butthole, right? And everybody just like, yes.
Oh,
like,
thank you.
Yeah, it's like they were all holding their breath. So they all like have this moment of just like, oh my God, it's nuts.
I'm so glad we're not the only ones who see that.
Yeah, so it's like she gets that like little, I guess like not victory, but that little like, oh, like release.
Little moment of relatability.
Yeah,
maybe.
And like everybody's just like, okay, like, because, you know, she didn't even offend those guys when she corrected them.
Yeah.
Like, so I kind of like how, okay, these guys are like, they're not all like TJ.
Yeah, and they seemed kind of into her. Like, the one guy knew she was a common folk musician.
Yeah.
And
like,
seemed to support what she was doing. So that's cool.
Yeah. So not a bad group of guys.
Yeah.
Anyway.
TJ is kind of a dick, but whatever.
Well, he's the one in the group who's the dick, I guess. And they're just, I know.
He's the Karen of the group.
Exactly.
And then we get, the episode ends with Nick's girlfriend going off on a bellhop.
On a poor bellhop.
A valet guy. I don't know what he
brought the car back and
there's a scratch.
And she's tearing into him with that, what do you want to say? That privilege that she's like that she has.
I suppose
you go get your manager talk. Like,
I'm important. This is important to me. Yeah. I'm a certain person. Yeah. And Kate and Ricky are watching from afar and judging her.
Yeah,
as they should.
And then they realize like that's why she doesn't talk.
She's a terrible person.
Yeah. So
mystery solved. And then we get into episode 4.
Yeah.
Road Warriors.
And I hadn't seen this episode before, so I was pretty
outraged
the entire time.
Taken aback by the terribleness of all the people in this.
It's difficult.
I've read some things online about how some of the male characters in this show can be a little offensive. And at first, like when we were first watching the first two episodes, I was like, I think that's just kind of a case of people found out that women write this show. I'm going to make a big stink about it on the internet. But now after watching this episode, a little bit of, I feel like there's a bit of truth to it.
You know what? That's a good point. It's,
yeah.
Has there been any actual positive dude? Like, think about even in the first couple episodes, like the guy who was working
their
at the toy
manager,
store.
The toy manager. Yeah.
Any guy they kind of come across
is kind of a piece of shit.
Is a jerk to them. And this episode
just kind of
nails
that point.
It rains it down upon you. And I never realized that, hey, maybe they're saying something. Maybe I should be outraged, but I'll save my outrage about the show for later. I'm outraged about all the characters.
About all these terrible people. So they take a cab way the hell out into the boonies, into some undisclosed town where they're doing a gig. They pay off the taxi cab, who immediately leaves.
Just bails.
He does not want any part of this.
But you know what? That's kind of cut him a bit of leeway, because that opener, like before the opening credit or opening song, it is difficult. Like them in
it
the
car. It would be a little, yeah.
Like for a second, I saw the title of the show, Road Warriors, and then they're in the car, and the way it's going, I'm like, oh my God. Please don't let this whole episode be in the car. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, no.
And they're singing in the car.
Oh, it's a little painful.
All kinds of games.
But then they're out, and I'm like, thank God. And then, like, yeah, that guy, I felt the same way he did. He's just, get out of there.
I'm out. I'll see you later. They even write his name down on the VIP list.
Well, yeah, totally nice thing to do, I guess. Maybe make up for it. But, yeah, he's gone.
He wasn't into it. He was gone.
And he is... And then we meet the first terrible person.
We meet Dennis, played by Steve Little, who you may recognize from Eastbound and Down.
But you know what? Like,
but you probably don't want to, because he's just the worst misogynist piece of shit.
There's no excuse for acting that way. Like, and it's
2015, people.
And there's no reason. He's totally just... Women shouldn't be on stage, should be back in the kitchen. He's like,
they're not funny.
Don't make jokes, make sandwiches. Like, and it's
make
not even
beds.
Like he's what? Angry. He's just like, he's just running at like this lukewarm resentment. And it's just, it's so frustrating. Like, honestly, if I knew somebody who was doing that, I'd have to like call them out on it. Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
It's beyond.
Like, you know, there are funny women out there, right?
Yeah. Well, in the show is funny. Their songs are funny. Like, it's
now,
good stuff.
We haven't seen him before. Was he in this town just to, like, clearly he was in the town just to protest, but was he from this town?
No, that's the thing. Like, he follows them. He drives, and they say something like 5 hours outside of the city, and he's like, hey, look at these signs I brought. Like,
I
so
brought
that means
all my signs.
He's got nothing else to do. Like, it's...
He's clearly jealous of their success.
He has to, yeah.
There's
like,
no way he's following them
the
around.
The level of commitment he poses, like, as to, like, follow them and get, the, it's the...
He's trolling them in real life.
Yeah.
Not
and they
on
even
Twitter.
Say that. Like, that's what Twitter is for,
like,
Dennis.
Just go on Twitter so we could block you or whatever. Our other fans can pester you forever. Yeah.
And he's setting up, like, signs outside. Like, not a few. And they're just, he's telling people, like... It's beyond. It's beyond any rational thing. Yeah. So then the girls like go inside to get away from
the terrible
this
protester.
Crazy terrible guy and right into cue
it up. The
terrible
manager of the bar.
And it's not even he starts kind of okay, but
he's clearly dismissive of everything they do. He's played by Kevin Pollak and he's an ex stand-up comic.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's been around.
Yeah. His description of style is completely impossible. And it's just.
Yeah.
He's like
Richard Pryor wrapped up in a George Carlin, but with like some Louis C.K. elements in there.
It's, yeah. I'm pretty sure he's just heard other comedians' names and he thought, like, this is what I am. So he keeps the terrible train rolling.
Yep.
He tells them that. He wants to stop them in the middle of their set to propose to his girlfriend.
Who was on a reality show a couple years ago.
Yeah, real some garbage.
Real world
Miami.
Garbage.
And film. I didn't actually check to see the credits to see if that was actually her.
No, that was an actress. No.
Yeah, it was an actress. So,
played by some actress who was kind of hot.
And he's just like, yeah, I'm going to totally break your rhythm and everything to do my own thing.
I'm
going to
interrupt the show for no good reason to propose.
And he's like, good luck with it, because like, that's what's happening. And he's like, and there's the sound guy over there or something.
Yeah, he'll let you know, or you give him whatever you need, and he'll do whatever you need for him.
Yeah.
But he won't, because he's just the worst as well. The DJ like, just would he? They're asking him the simplest things possible.
They're like, not even. They're just talking.
Please give us another mic. Please put this song in when we ask you to. Blah blah blah.
And this guy again.
You know what? I'm done. Yeah, I don't need all this garbage. I quit.
He's like, can you step off my jock for a second? like he. How could he feel he's being attacked? Like it's his goddamn jaw.
They're the most innocent looking women.
Yeah.
Like the least threatening you can even imagine.
No cattiness, no spite
They're
to
They're just
them.
Trying to get through their set so they could go back home and
Just want to do a gig.
They just want to gig it up.
And apparently, yeah. So maybe now, so the guys quit, so now they've got, I don't know, let's just go back to the green room, see what happens. Where they meet yet another car on the train of terribleness.
The mathemagician?
The calculator wizard.
Played by Andy Kindler.
Yeah, and it's so...
Who just can't find Kate's number.
It's so bad. Like, even that joke, like, how did that... Or that trick, like, it's just, so is this your number? And he's like, it's got to be one of them. There's a finite set of numbers. And it's just... He's like, oh, hey, here's pi. Like, have you seen that before? Like...
Yeah, I have. I pushed the pi button on my calculator.
It's like, where are they? It's so
unreal. They're in some kind of bizarro world where nobody, like no women have rights, it seems.
Yeah, but and at least the mathemagician, or whatever you want to call him.
I'm going to say mathemagician.
He's not inherently bad to them right away, but he tells them like, oh yeah, my set, maybe 30, 35 minutes. I won't go over 40.
No. But he seems to never leave the stage. Like, he's always there.
Like,
every time the camera's on the stage, he's there, like, fumbling numbers on his calculator.
And then he's like, oh, it needs more light. It's a solar calculator. And then, so it cuts back to the girls. Like, he's been on stage for an hour. How?
And why?
It's implausible that he is up there for that long. It's beyond madness.
They also haven't figured out their other microphone problem, so they go over to Dennis, who's still protesting to maybe like two people.
Yeah, they realize his
microphone.
He's got one. He's got a speaker set up so he can yell at people so they don't come in. Like, ugh. They eventually
buy it off of him. Well, first they record a video saying that musical comedy is the inferior form of comedy,
which they kind of agree to. They're willing to let that out just so they can do their set and get out of here
and get out of the show, so that Linda can get her chemo and say that their imaginary fan that they're doing this show for, and then they do a Morgan Freeman impression for some reason. Why do they do that Morgan Freeman impression? That was kind of at the beginning of the episode. We skipped over it, but for whatever reason, they come out and do the Morgan Freeman.
Oh, because they wanted more of his gravitas.
Okay,
that's what they feel like that they're missing.
So they start saying
they basically needed to get more Morgan Freeman into their like bits, I guess.
Poor Andy had no idea that the penguins were coming for Batman. Batman. I feel
that's
like
solid Morgan Freeman, Sean. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Look out, Hollywood.
It was a treat to watch that happen.
Was it? Would you say?
Hashtag feeling blessed.
Hashtag so blessed.
So they get the second mic, which was a hassle all on its own.
Yeah, and then they try to get in, but the bouncer won't let them in. Because they're women? What was his reason?
I don't know.
Just because he was a dick?
They weren't on the list, but like...
But all that was on the list was their driver.
Yeah. Sure, they're cutting in front of the line, but how does he not know who the act is if it's two people coming up saying, we're Garfunkel and Oates, and then he's like, ID? You're like, well, they're not going to have ID, but... I think he's just bad at his job, to be honest. I don't know.
Is there any bouncer good at their job, though?
I mean, I think there are.
You think so?
One time a bouncer didn't beat me up, and I was just like, he is good at his job.
Well, were you being abrasive
I was just walking, and I was...
Well, then how can you judge it?
Wow. Sean, I'm just trying to cut him a break.
Were you like, fuck authority, and like push him or anything?
Actually, there's been a time where I've just been bored in a club, and I talk to a bouncer, and some of them just like... They kind of, they give you a little bit of conversation because they're bored as shit too. So I've had pleasant
interactions with bouncers.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So
I have not, but that's because I'm a hard ass.
Well, exactly. You're shredding clubs.
Every time I get into the club and get my dance and groove on.
Oh, it's look
bouncers
out.
Hate it because they get all the ladies.
But
sorry, ladies, I'm married.
Exactly.
So hands off.
Well, that's probably why they hate you too, because they're just... It's also true.
It's
this
like,
guy's already locked down, and those sick moves.
And those ladies are all over him. I got to throw him out of this place.
Exactly. Classic Friday night.
Classic. That's just how I roll, man.
Yeah.
You got to come classic clubbing with the pros. And we talk about video games, and the night's over.
So, a little twist of irony, Dennis helps the girls get back into the bar because he's holding...
With his terrible sign.
Yeah, he's holding a sign calling them down, and they're just like, hey, look, this is proof. And so the bouncer's
look,
like,
they're terrible.
Get
they're
on
not
in.
Funny.
And,
go see. Let them in.
So,
let them show
it's kind of a little tiny middle finger to Dennis actually helped us get in and do the show. So,
yeah, why would he do that?
He didn't.
I think
he didn't realize it was happening.
Yeah, like, I forgot about that. He just kind of showed up.
He was trying
up.
To show the sign to as many people as.
He was just like, "Hey, bouncer,
have you seen?
Right? Like they're pretty bad." Like,
yeah.
So they went backstage. They got their second mic. Andy Kindler still killing it.
Still, yeah.
They have to pee, so they decide to pee in the back alley, and do it unsuccessfully.
Yeah, about as unsuccessfully as it gets.
Yeah, they sing their pee out and then fall in their pee. Well, Ricky does. Yeah. They're covered in pee. Not great.
It's a bad day.
Bad start to the set. And then they start their set, and they sing their songs. They sing 2931.
Which is a song I've heard before from when them doing stand-up.
Yeah.
And I love the song.
It's a great song.
I've always loved
it.
It's
on YouTube as well, if you so happen to check it out.
Yeah. It's the same. They're each singing as the same girl.
At 29 years and 31.
31 years.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say it's just here's hope and optimism, Kate as the 29-year-old, and then Ricky just not even trying to sing, just, there's nobody left.
She's 1 year over 30. There's nobody left for her.
Yeah, it's a different game for a single girl.
29, she had the pick of the litter,
yeah,
and she just did not take that initiative.
No, she...
And there's nobody left.
Yeah.
They get into it. And then Kevin Pollak comes in and just interrupts their set.
Yeah.
Well, not before they try to do their hand job song.
Right. And they
and
even
the DJ
ask,
who has now been hired, who's now not fired.
Because he always quits. He's just one of those
apparently
guys.
Apparently he just does, that's
he's
just
like,
his thing.
I'm quitting, and then you got to be
back.
Like, oh no, or whatever.
Oh wait, I need to eat. I better go back.
Yeah, or that, yeah. So,
and then, he just flat out refuses to help them still, and quits again. He
quits again. Yeah, to spite them, I think, this time. Just
clearly.
He's like, how about saying please, literally right after Ricky says please. Like, she says, could you do that, please? He's like, can you
say... How about you say please, you rude bitch?
It's inexcusable.
Yeah, incredibly. But then, Kevin Pollak comes out to propose to his girlfriend from reality show Who Gives a Shit.
Exactly.
And she can't. She just can't marry him because she's 28.
And the song that she has just heard has given her the confidence to try and see if she can do better instead of settling down. But it's ironic because that is the exact opposite meaning of the song.
Yeah.
Because it's like...
Well, she wants to use her looks before she's over 30. I think
yeah, but... It's still coming. Like, why is it? Why is she letting this go? Like, why is she willfully let it gonna happen? Like, do the story? Like, it's a cautionary tale.
It
the
is
song,
but she's hot now, and she can land probably someone better than an ex stand up who now owns a comedy club.
Yeah,
in the middle of racistville USA,
and you know what? And that's
USA.
Exactly the trap she falls into, because 3 years down the line,
she's gonna be Ricky Lindholm in that song,
and. You know what? I hope so.
I hope so. I hope she sings about it and puts
Kevin
it on YouTube.
Pollock, he makes a slideshow plane. He clearly wants to ruin these other girls' night to propose. It's actually not a terrible proposal. I've seen worse. But for this
really,
but for this terrible town, it seems like it's a pretty nice gesture. And he gets shut down.
Yeah.
And that's
that's kind of sad. So here's more comedy shows and songs.
Yeah. So now that the crowd is pumped.
Totally warmed up from that really bad proposal.
So then the girls are now forced to try and... Because it's a rap song, and normally they have a track that rap over. That's not happening.
So they beatbox poorly.
And yeah, it's...
It doesn't go well. They kind of have a bad show.
At least they don't show us all of it. They let us skip
That's
it.
That's true.
Because I assume they do the whole song.
It fast forwards to Dennis gloating about how terrible their show was.
Yeah, he wins. And
but then gives them a ride back to New York.
So then I guess they...
So who really wins
they
there?
They appeal because he still has to drive all the way back to the city. So they basically do like the appeal of like, hey, just see, like we're people.
Let's bury the hatchet.
And, like, can you just be a person?
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's...
And then he does.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
I guess, and then... But they're like, we'll pay you. And he's like $200? And they're like, yeah. And he goes, oh, my God. And it just blows.
Whoa,
his, like... Yeah, and then he's just like... And then he realizes, like, oh, well, can we... We'll stop for ice cream, too. And this, it's like he's never spent time with a woman. That's why he hates women.
Or maybe just friends in general. Like,
yeah,
maybe
like,
he has no friends. And he's like, whoa, someone's willing to hang out with me for hours? We're in the car and I'm driving them home, but maybe something more could
I don't feel like he deserves the reasons like that I'm giving him to be like, oh, but like, you know what I mean? When someone's really like a sad, terrible person and then you suddenly see why they're shitty.
Right.
And then you kind of like...
Sympathize a little bit.
Yeah. But no, he doesn't deserve it.
No.
Fuck him.
As soon as he gets into New York, he's going to drop them off and be like, see you later. You're terrible.
Yeah.
See you at your next show.
And
I'll be there.
And then the ride home.
What happens on the ride home?
He explains how I'm an artist too, but like with real music.
But not this comedy garbage that you guys...
But then he's like, oh, I've got my demo tape. Let's listen to it.
Oh, it's gone. Don't worry. I'll sing it for you. And then he proceeds to do what quite possibly the worst vocal jazz I've ever heard.
It's... Sean, I'm really having trouble finding what outrages me the most about this show. But it's just like... Like I've said before, maybe it's my old age, but now I'm just... Everything was so terrible. Like, every guy was so terrible that I was going to say that we're not going to do an MVP. We're going to do an MTP for most terrible person.
I thought we were going to go with MWP, most worst person.
Most worst person is still pretty accurate. But, we're going to... like
we're definitely going to do that. Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
MWP.
So who's your MWP for this these two episodes, Steve?
Because, I mean, you got shitty TJ Miller. Doesn't even ask a girl his name.
You got care home rapist.
Yeah. Like, super weirdo who's like, hey, so what is your... Are you... What kind of retarded are you?
You have misogynist protester.
You got
the DJ that can't do his job.
Yeah, sound man who is terrible.
It's kind of a crapshoot at this point. I'm tempted to vote for all of them.
I want them all... They're all the worst, absolutely.
I think we could agree on that, but we should probably pick one for the audience.
Dennis? It's Dennis. Like,
oh,
if there's
man.
Somebody who deserves a solid slap, punch in the balls kind of thing, I think it's that guy.
I think I'm going to go with Dennis as well. He's just over the top, unnecessarily misogynistic, and just the worst. Like, this is how bad he is. He travels 5 hours outside of New York just to picket their show.
It's it's ridiculous. It's beyond ridiculous. And yeah, like, why?
Why? Because why? He has no life. I think he has no friends or life, and he needs something to fill that void, and Twitter's just not big enough for that void.
Yeah, he's like an internet troll who never figured out how to use the internet.
Yeah.
So that's what happens. Shitty people.
You know what happened to those people back in like the 1800s? They got shot.
Nice.
Because nobody cared. As soon as someone said something bad, they got shot.
Yeah.
That's just how it worked back then. But now we have laws and crimes.
Yeah.
So now they just continue living.
And their anonymity is just fueling it.
Now that we have the internet, everybody is a troll.
Yeah.
Everybody does it now.
And like, and you know what I realized the other day too? I forget what almost pushed me to it, but I'm like, I should troll those people. Like, it was something online. I'm like, because they deserve it. Like they had, like something terrible enough had finally brought me down to the level of the trolls. And I was just like, I almost slipped into it, Sean. I almost became
almost
one.
Almost did it.
But, something I have to say, pulled me out of the muck.
I have to say, I've never actually like followed someone to troll them or anything.
I know.
Like, I've never been that low. Well,
and that's probably why you have a social life and a wife and, you know, friends, is because you're nuts.
I suppose.
Like, that's why.
Makes sense.
That's why we can sit in a room for an hour, Sean,
and chat
have
away.
Fun, and then not have to go online and say terrible things to people.
Right. We just go to bed and cry ourselves to sleep like a normal person.
Tuesday.
That's Tuesday.
My Tuesday for me.
It's every Tuesday.
Yeah. So I'm going Dennis for my MVP.
I'm right there with you. I'm with Dennis. No MVP this week.
Nope.
Nobody was valuable enough to be an MVP. So we're kiboshing that for a week. We're going to give MWP to Dennis. We might even do more MWPs for this this series.
But you know, it comes back to that thing you said earlier about the show being like hard on men. Like, displaying men is
like
terrible.
It.
It's like, I kind of forget about it because I'm just so sympathizing with the girls. Like, so bad that they got to put up with this.
Girls.
But I've never thought that it's them writing this about it. And I'm like, so is that how they see men? Like, because
I don't know. I mean, like,
I
there have been
fair.
Terrible men written in shows before. Like, It's Always Sunny is 80% terrible people, and they're
right.
men.
That's true, but they also have terrible women.
That's also, Dee's pretty
Artemis
terrible as well.
Artemis
isn't terrible, but she's just kind of like, she fills empty space.
You're right. Okay, maybe not Artemis so much. But.
She's just there to bang Frank at a Wendy's parking lot or whatever, and to smoke weed at child pageants.
But I'm saying, like, Always Sunny, they like their core is, those are your people you're following. Like,
sure,
it's bad guys, but also the bad girl. But here we have these two almost innocent girls just beset on all sides by terrible men.
That's true.
And like, who specifically are treating them terribly. So, I don't know. I don't think they're, I think it's apples and oranges, if kind of thing. I don't think we can compare them and say, like, terrible men from this show. Yeah. So
I
terrible.
Suppose. Yeah. It's kind of, yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe we'll see more. Maybe we won't.
I think we could save this for the season finale.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, what I'm going to look forward to.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen a couple episodes, so I know what's kind of in store, and I'm
Don't
looking forward
you
to
spoil
your reaction.
It.
Oh,
Ooh.
I won't. Ooh, I won't. But I'll keep you on the edge of your seat while I say it's going to be gooder. It's going to be gooder. So thank you for listening.
Yeah.
We're a little shows that couldn't. You know where to find us by now. I hope. Steve, do you have Twitter yet?
I've downloaded it.
You finally got it?
Now I've come to the...
Now you just got to make an account.
Yeah, the Herculean task.
It's a bigger...
Screen name or username, whatever.
I think it's like handle. I'm not even
whatever
sure.
Whatever it is, Sean, I sure don't know what it is.
Who knows? Maybe next time, maybe for the next episode, you'll have an account.
Because I really want to make it good because I feel like this is the buildup. All our listeners have been finally waiting because they're going to follow me and I'll follow you. Out in the
Twitterverse.
Yeah.
The tweet.
Once I get all up in there.
Once you get all them tweets going.
Like a bad smell in a port-a-john.
Yep.
And expect
He'll
tweets
be all
like
over
that.
It.
But yeah. So maybe send me your tweet, my Twitter handle suggestions. before I make the Twitter account, if you can do that somehow, let it make it happen, people.
You have all the time in the world.
Sweet.
We kind of run at our own. We beat on our own drum here at Little Shows.
I'd like to make a promise to our listeners. If you listen to the next episode, you will find out the Twitter name that the Twitter handle that Steve.
That's a Steve Cartanian promise.
Yeah, has it's for you.
That is a promise you can take to the bank and cash in.
Right. So
for lots of money.
And you're still the Stewman Magoo?
I'm still Sean Stewman on Twitter.
Nice.
Stewman Magoo is taken, unfortunately.
Oh.
But, right?
Let's troll that guy.
I should.
Quick, Sean, to the internet.
To the internet. We'll see you guys later. We're going to go troll Stewman Magoo. See you later. Oh, and remember
keep being cool.
Cool.
Nailed it.